San Siro was in full voice at full time as Inter hold on to defeat Arsenal. Elsewhere, Barcelona scored 5. Brest and Atalanta maintained their incredible start. Atletico won at the death in Paris. Shakhtar are properly up and running, while Club Brugge ended Aston Villa's 100% start. So let's get into it and review match day 4 Wednesday in the UEFA Champions League. Welcome along, I'm Rob Daly, joined by European football expert Daniela Fisichella and football commentator Richard Connolly. Richard, first of all, can I get your thoughts on the match you've just commentated on tonight, Inter's victory against Arsenal, with those players out celebrating on the pitch at San Siro?
Yeah, it's one of those victories that will feel tremendously sweet. It's been earned through hard work, through sweat, through being tremendously well organised. They were disciplined right to the end of the 98th minute into tonight. Really well organised, spent a lot of time without the ball, scored when they had the chance from the penalty spot, their only shot on target in the entire match. And the questions, I suppose, for Arsenal are relatively familiar ones. Odegaard did come on late on, but did they have enough creativity to break down this defence, albeit it was well organised? When they did have chances, particularly from corners, they couldn't take them. They will regret it. Inter celebrating a tremendously hard-fought victory.
And Daniela, of course, so many other standout results tonight.
There were 5 away wins tonight, but the standout for me is Atletico Madrid turning it around in Paris. After going behind in the first half, thanks to a goal from Zaire Emery, they equalised quickly with Molina. The game felt very, very balanced, but they managed to score in the last minute of stoppage time with Correa. And that wins leaves Paris Saint-Germain in 25th position, so it's currently outside of the playoff, and allows Diego Simeone to leapfrog them and go into the 23rd position. But we also have to highlight the fact that Brest are currently in the top 8. They have won 2 French teams, Monaco and Brest, in the top 8. I think this is remarkable.
It certainly is. All right, here are how the games finished on Wednesday. Inter 1, Arsenal 0, Paris Saint-Germain 1, Atletico 2, Club Brugge 1, Aston Villa 0, Feyenoord 1, Salzburg 3, Sivena Zvezda 2, Barcelona 5, Sparta Praha 1, Brest 2, Stuttgart 0, Atalanta 2, and Shakhtar 2, Young Boys 1. They're still playing, by the way, at the time of recording in Munich, where it is Bayern 1, Benfica 0. They had a delay kickoff there. Jamal Musiala's goal at the moment is the difference. But let's start with Wednesday's game at San Siro. Here was the key moment of the match, which came at the end of the first half.
Inter take the free kick in near post, appeal for handball. Taremi was appealing for it, and the referee has given it. It's a penalty to Inter for handball. Calhanoglu then against Raya. On the stroke of half-time, Inter lead. Calhanoglu rolled it right down the middle, and Raya threw himself to his left to no avail. Inter strike right at the end of the first half. It's Inter 1, Arsenal 0.
You kind of got the feeling early that it was going to be a game of fine margins, and so it proved, but it was a really resolute defensive display, Richard, that saw Inter get the win tonight.
Yeah, I mean, they started with a tremendous thunder about them. Had a couple of great chances in the first 5 minutes. Denzel Dumfries hit the crossbar, and you wondered if it might be a completely different type of game to the one that we were expecting, which was one where the two coaches would really face off, a kind of chess match. But that did transpire. And what you saw was that when one team had the ball, one was supremely organised without it. Arsenal made it very difficult for Inter to pass the ball out and tried to win the ball high up the field. Didn't succeed too often. When Arsenal had it, Inter were very, very disciplined and didn't concede good chances. So it was a game where defensive shape was to the fore and where the Inter defence were magnificent. Arsenal bombarded them from corners, 13 in total, and they were well-delivered corners, the vast majority. And Inter, with goalkeeper Sommer at the heart of it, and the three central defenders were tremendously brave. Dumfries got one off the line at one point, and with the moment of perhaps good fortune, the free kick that was played into the box that came up and onto an arm for the penalty. They were good enough to take the penalty and score it. They were really good enough to defend that lead throughout the course of the second half. Arsenal will again ask themselves the questions. Did they pose Inter enough questions given the amount of possession they had?
I think Arsenal will leave San Siro with a lot of regrets, especially because they had good spells in the first half, but they didn't really test Sommer. And in the second half, it looked like at some point they were running out of ideas. And yes, they put a lot of crosses into the box, but Inter got the strategy all right. They understood how to defend them. De Vrij, Bissek have been outstanding, and Inter have really sacrificed every single drop of energy to defend the box. On the other hand, the Nerazzurri will feel it's almost mission accomplished. 10 points after four games, having faced two Premier League sides, Manchester City and Arsenal, is a pretty good going. And today was a vintage display, something that would probably remind of when Serie A and Calcio were strong, a dog performance. But that's sometimes what you need in such a high-stake contest. And Inter were able, taking the chances, understanding the moments of the games, but also showing plenty of sacrifice, which is what's going to get them through, I think, in this league phase.
Of course, I'd be well aware that the strength of the Premier League, and it would have been a massive factor. So you mentioned it there. How big is it for Inter to have taken 4 points from these games away at Manchester City and at home to Arsenal, the top two in the Premier League last season?
A massive confidence boost for a team that has improved in character and confidence since they lost the final against Manchester City 2 years ago. The beginning of the season for Inter perhaps has not been as sparkling as last season. In Serie A, they've been shipping far too many goals. But, you know, collecting the 9th clean sheet at home in the last 11 Champions League games means really a lot, especially against this opposition. Bayer Leverkusen next for Inter. They'll approach it with a lot of confidence.
Who are the key characters tonight for Inter, Richard?
I mean, we've mentioned a lot of them in terms of the defensive work, because there was a lot of time from those corners. You know, Arsenal are moving men into the box at the last minute. You've got to be composed, you've got to be brave, you've got to be physically strong. De Vrij headed out goodness knows how many balls from his penalty area tonight. Pavard likewise. Jan Bisek deserves a big mention because of those three. He's clearly the least experienced in his second season with Inter, but he's not been somebody who's started a vast number of games. But he barely put a foot wrong. In the first half, he was actually rampaging forward at times to good effect as well. But he's somebody who, on the evidence of this, is learning very quickly. I mean, given he was playing in Denmark a couple of seasons ago, he had an excellent game. I'd put a word in, too, for the wing-backs. Dumfries, I always enjoy watching, and he made an excellent goal-line clearance that we're looking at on our monitors now. That was really crucial to the outcome. But his energy and his determination is always a big plus in a defensive unit. And on the other side, Darmian did a lot to help snuff out the threat of Saka, that right-footed player playing at left wing-back, to help counter the player coming in off that right-hand side with the left foot to cross and shoot as he so often does. So, well, there's the entire back five for you. No team in a match like this can survive without everybody doing their bit, and that's one thing from this week. You know, you have to all put in as a unit. You can't have star players drifting out of the game for 5 or 10 minutes or not putting in the shift. This was an entire unit that did its job tonight.
A great result. They mixed up their team. They've got a game against Napoli at the weekend, a massive game at the top of the table. A superb victory for Inter, who move up to fifth in the league phase. Arsenal on 12th at the moment on 7 points. By the way, on Cialanoglu, something that Daniela picked out in commentary. Since he joined Inter in 21-22, he scored each of his 19 penalties taken in all competitions in that period. Amongst those who have scored 100% of their penalties in the big five European leagues in all competitions, he's taken the most. You just knew he was going to find a way past David Raya. Okay, let's move into some of the other games, because the full-time whistle's just gone in Munich. Bayern have beaten Benfica by a goal to nil. Jamal Musiala Musiala with a header just past the midway point in the first half. And Daniela, it feels like the German side needed that victory.
Absolutely. After two defeats against Aston Villa and Barcelona, perhaps it's not been a vintage display from Bayern. Maybe the scoreline could have been a little bit bigger. You know, the news is that Harry Kane hasn't scored but has provided the assist for Musiala. So, you know, pretty much job done now for Bayern with 6 points. Still a long way to go. And now they can approach the next four games again with confidence and probably with reasonable hopes to finish in the top eight.
Yeah, the victory puts them level with their opposition on the night, Benfica, on 6 points, and another big goal on a big stage for Jamal Musiala. Let's go to one of your outstanding results of the night, Daniela, in the French capital, the Parc des Princes. Paris Saint-Germain 1, Atletico 2. Paris took the lead through Warren Zaire-Emery's goal on 14 minutes, but Molina levelled for Atleti. And much like on match day one, I think back to that game against Leipzig, similar circumstances, they turned it around completely.
They show resolve, resilience as well, a little bit of old style Atletico, if you like. They had to defend deep at times. PSG, Paris Saint-Germain were pushing in the first half. And I think it shows the competitiveness of such a competition with more teams as well. And yeah, a matchup that maybe in previous editions we would have seen on a knockout round. Now we've seen it very, very early. Feels like a very big result for Simeone.
Yeah, they're up to 23rd now, so technically in the playoff places. It's going to be a while before we work out who's doing well and who isn't, depending on the opposition they've got yet to play, but a vital result for Atletico after a couple of defeats in the competition.
Worth noting that PSG have got a different difficult fixtures. Bayern Munich away, Salzburg away, then they host Manchester City, and the last game is at Stuttgart. It was said after the draw was made, PSG had the toughest draw. It's a very difficult run of fixtures as well.
In Rotterdam tonight, Feyenoord have been beaten at home by Salzburg. Salzburg's first points, they lost all three of their matches. But a superb success for Pep Linders, who's gone as his head coach, needed a big result. And for Feyenoord, things have been going well, but that's a disappointing result on the night in the end, Richard.
Yeah, I mean, if we're talking about Liverpool and how to replace Jurgen Klopp, then obviously for Feyenoord, the reverse is true because they're looking to replace Klopp's successor in Arne Slot, who made a massive impact at Feyenoord in the years they have there. They are still struggling to find their identity a little bit under Brian Priska, having lost the Clasica against Ajax at home recently. It's another blow at the Kuip, but having won twice away from home in the Champions League in the first three matches, they've bought themselves some time and some opportunity still to reach the knockout phase. I'd note with them too, they go away to Manchester City next to Feyenoord, and they've got to play Bayern München at home on match day seven as well. You know, it's up in the air.
This is actually when you start to look at the fixtures still to come that you get a different, you reframe how teams are performing in the competition. Karim Konaté scoring two goals, and he hit the bar with a penalty for a hat-trick. At that point, Feyenoord had just gone down to 10 men, but then scored through Hagi Musa. But Daouda Gindo with a wonderful first-time finish made it 3-1 to seal it for the Austrian side, a side that had lost all three of their matches. Let's go to Serbia next. Venezia Zvezda 2, Barcelona 5. Barca up to 6th now on 9 points. And it's been an impressive response, Daniela, after losing to Monaco in their opening league phase game.
Top scorers of the competition so far with 15 goals scored. They are flying domestically as well after having won recently El Clasico against Real Madrid for 4-0. A very, very good performance in Serbia. They hit the bar as well with Fermin Lopez, so they could have scored even more. On the other hand, Red Star Belgrade have shown, especially at home, they can trouble teams. They've shown what they're capable of. It is a team that even when I watched them losing 4-0 San Siro against Inter, they had good moments in there. They clearly have got goals. Again, the fixture list for them has been difficult. Who knows, maybe they might be able to pick a few points in the last few fixtures.
Okay, well, let's go to another game now in Germany where Stuttgart took on Atalanta. And Atalanta doing so well at the moment in this competition because they picked up a 2-0 victory away at Stuttgart. They're on 8 points now. They're still unbeaten. The goals scored in the second half by Nicolò Zaniolo and the man who recently finished fourth in the Ballon d'Or voting, Ademola Lookman.
In the first half, obviously, it was difficult. I think we had moments to score goals, but we didn't score in the first half. So coming out in the second half, we wanted to, you know, get that goal. And, you know, it came in that moment. Brilliant work from Charles to, you know, do the 1v1 and get past his man, and obviously I just anticipated where the ball was going to go and got the goal.
Ademola Lookman speaking there. Are you surprised? I mean, of course, they go into this season, Daniela, as Europa League champions. Are you surprised by how comfortable they look at this level in the Champions League?
Not entirely, because they've been accustomed to it. A few years ago, they reached the quarterfinals of the Champions League. They've been regulars in the Europa League, of course, winning in last year. But this is the team that in Italy is being considered the most European of all for the way they play. And again, they got players in great form. Lookman scoring 8 goals so far. Retegui didn't score tonight, but 13 goals. And Atalanta played 13 away games in the Champions League so far. They won 7 of
it's
them.
Not bad, is it?
It's not bad. The next one is a Young Boys away. So again, they're looking to fit. They're currently 9th, but you know, they could stage a claim to finish in the top 8.
And 3rd in Serie A after that emphatic win against Napoli, the league leaders at the weekend. All right, you knew Atalanta were going to do good. You did not know Brest were going to do so well, Daniela. You can admit that, surely.
I admitted that, I could never forecast them, with no disrespect, being in the top 8. They are the story of this Champions League, for sure.
Yeah, 4th at the moment on 10 points. 2-1 winners away at Sparta Praha in their first ever European campaign. An own goal decided it. Eddie Milson put them ahead with a super volley. Olatunji pulled one back for Sparta Praha, who were beaten heavily by Manchester City. But how have Stade Brestois been able to compete at this level?
They kept most of the players that did well last season. They finished 4th. And for large spells of last season, they were in the top 2. And they've done really, really well. The manager, Eric Roy, has developed a good system. It is a team that I think has been very good in this Champions League, also knowing their strengths and their limits. They are top for long balls played, more than any other team by many, many long balls. That means sometimes they know how to go direct. He's not always extremely pretty, but he's effective. That's what they need. And, you know, they've been very good. They picked up 3 away wins so far and held Leverkusen to a draw. Alongside Monaco, they sit in the top 8 very, very comfortably. They're looking at least at a finish in the top 16.
Yeah.
So, again, a new scenario opens up for the Breton club.
It certainly does. Okay, as well as the 7 late kickoffs, there were 2 early ones that we still need to talk about.
Bondarenko's mistake. Here's Emery. Emery's shot! And Young Boys lead. A gift for the Swiss. Kevin's pass. Sudakov! Oh, a tap-in! Zubkov! Now Sudakov, who does well. Sudakov! Terrific hit! And now Shakhtar lead the game.
And Hans Van Aken steps up against the great Emi Martinez. Van Aken keeps his cool, and Villa a breach.
So we're going to get onto that tremendous win for Shakhtar in Germany against Young Boys shortly. But let's start with Club Brugge ending Aston Villa's 100% start in the Champions League phase. Of course, Unai Emery's side were top of the table going into match day 4, and we'll hear from him shortly. First, Club Brugge boss Nick Hyann was absolutely delighted with his team's win. Here's what he had to say after the match.
We were prepared for a difficult game. I think that's clear if you play against a club that's leading at the moment with 9 points out of 3 games. But I think we played a magnificent game today. Really pleased with the way how we were disciplined in the tactical way. And I think after 95 minutes, everyone is agreed that the victory is deserved.
And a reminder of how Club Brugge got that penalty. Aston Villa looked to take a goal kick. Emi Martinez worked the ball into Tyrone Mings, who then picked the ball up to reset it to go again. But the referee said, well, the ball's in play. That's handball. That's a penalty. And that is how Hans Van Aken got the chance to convert the penalty that decided the game 7 minutes into the second half. They also hit the frame of the goal over the course of the evening. For Villa now, that's 3 defeats in a row in three different competitions. Here's manager Unai Emery's assessment of that defeat.
We played very good first half. We created the chances to score. We didn't score. We conceded one chances for them. The mistake changed everything because one thing like then, here playing at home, defensive very strong, very focused. They were better than us. But of course, the key was the first half and the mistake we made.
Well, a little earlier on, I caught up with our reporter Brecht Skjelstrand, who watched Club Brugge's victory over Aston Villa at the Jan Bredel Stadion and shared his thoughts on the match.
Club Brugge was really good. They already showed in this competition against Dortmund and against Milan and against Graz that they're really able to hurt the opposing teams. And what they missed a bit in the previous games, especially against Dortmund, it was efficiency. And today, they just took the chance they got from the spot, and they even get more chances. So. It was really, really a special night here in Bruges as well because it was the 100th Champions League game of this Belgian club. So, yeah, a wonderful night here for the fans in Bruges.
And a second win of this season's league phase. Take us into the atmosphere of the Jan Bredel Stadion.
Yeah, the Jan Bredel Stadion is a very special stadium. It was built or rebuilt for the Euro 2000 already. So it's an old stadium. It's a historical, a mythical stadium. And there, Bruges beat... Other teams in Champions League previously as well here, a bit as always as the underdog, as the Belgian teams in Champions League are. So, but you feel that, after the spectacular Conference League season last year, where they reached the semi-finals, that the crowd really believes in this team. And after 30 minutes, the team got an amazing 3 minutes with two real goal opportunities. I think everyone was a bit surprised as well because, Bruges always attacks, but it's difficult for them to really dominate a game, which they did after that good period in the first half and in the beginning of the second half.
How important then is the team's experience in Europe from previous years?
Really important. I talked with Hans van Aken, the captain, who scored the penalty. The guy played 52 games of the 100 Club Brugge Champions League games since 92. So experience is key in this team. They have Simon Mignolet, who already was part of the Liverpool Champions League team many years ago. So much experience. Brendan Mechelen, for almost 10 years, a key figure in defense. But what attracts me about this team is that, for example, the whole defense, the four defenders, were educated in Bruges, in the youth academy. So that means the club is doing well. They attract good people, good players, let's say. But they also have a good mix with young players, which they did not have previously.
Great insight from Brecht Skjelstrand, our reporter at Club Brugge's 1-0 win over Aston Villa. The other early game, Shakhtar Donetsk coming from behind to beat Young Boys 2-1 in Gelsenkirchen, Germany. Goalscorer Alexander Zubkov, who got the equaliser, hopes the side can carry the emotions of their win through to their upcoming matches.
Of course, everybody in the team is happy, but we must go forward and keep this game and keep these emotions there in the dressing room. And now we must leave it. And tomorrow we need to prepare for next game and also a long trip to home.
Well, they have 1 point on the board and they only narrowly lost to Arsenal match day 3. But we know the context within which Shakhtar are having to play in European competition. And that is some result for them tonight, Daniel.
Makes it even more special, the performance. But they did really play well. They dug themselves out of a difficult situation, having conceded a goal with losing the ball in their own halfway line. And then a great goal from Sudakov to seal it. The 2-1 was a really piece of beauty. Now, the Ukrainian side are looking at this Champions League with more optimism. The next game is away at PSV Eindhoven. So I think, they are truly and well off the mark.
Yeah, great stuff. A reminder, of course, that the Champions League returns on Tuesday, the 26th of November. 9 matches to look forward to on the Tuesday. How about this? Bayern versus Paris Saint-Germain. How Paris need a result there. Manchester City hosting Feyenoord. And then on the Wednesday, 2 blockbusters in England, Liverpool versus Real Madrid, a repeat of two recent finals, and Aston Villa against Juventus. Matchday Live will be on air both evenings from 20:45 CET. Let's quickly flip back to our game at San Siro. Inter 1-0 victors. Let's hear from the match winner himself, Hakan Çalhanoğlu, full of praise for the performance.
They put us in a very difficult situation a lot of times, especially on the corner kicks. They are very strong, and I have to say our defenders today, they did a big match. It's not easy to defend against whole players, you know, tall players. So I have to say compliment.
The thoughts of Hakan Çalhanoğlu, kept his composure from the spot to score the match winner. Richard Conley, our commentator for this game, would he be in the running for player of the game, or have you got someone in mind?
I think he would be. I would give it to young Jan Bisek, you know, one of the defenders and somebody who's really stepped up a level tonight and produced an outstanding display.
Richard, thank you very much. Daniel, you get to pick one more player from the other eight games tonight. Who are you going to go for as your
player
of the night?
I'm going to go for Nahuel Molina of Atletico Madrid, because Atletico Madrid today have defended the wrong box quite a lot, and Molina was put under pressure, showed great resilience, great defensive display, but also scored the goal that started the comeback. So I think he deserves a recognition.
A crucial victory for Atletico. Richard, Daniela, thank you very much. Brilliant coverage tonight. And that is just about all we have time for this evening. A reminder that this very podcast will be available at the end of every single match night of the UEFA Champions League. So make sure to subscribe, follow, rate, and download wherever you get your podcasts. It now means we're halfway through this year's league phase and the standings are really beginning to take shape. What twists and turns are we in store for on match day 5 when we have some of the best games of this season's competition? From me, Rod Daly, and the rest of the Match Day Live team, it's goodbye.
You've been listening to the official UEFA Champions League podcast.